إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. That is praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves, from the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, in this lecture number 11, a series of lectures concerning the book Lum'at al-Aytiqad, Al-Hadi ila al-Sabil al-Rashad al-Imam Abu Muhammad Abd al-Ahmad al-Muhammad ibn Salama rahimahullah, and the explanation of this essay by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen hafidhahullah. We'd like to start with the second half of the book, in which the first chapter, which he discussed after dealing with the Asma of Allah and the Sifat of Allah, the first topic that he discussed is the ru'ya al-mu'minina li rabbihim yawm al-qiyamah, the vision or the seeing of the believers, seeing their Lord on the day of resurrection. And perhaps if there's time, we may take something from the next chapter, al-qadha, al-qadr, the divine decree, which is a long chapter. Perhaps we may take some points from it as time allows, and then continue with the remaining chapters, al-iman, that iman is speech and action, and believing in all that the Prophet ﷺ has informed us of, the previous events as well as future events, the signs of the judgment day, the punishment and foul of the grave, and all of those things that will take place on Yawm Qiyamah, and other topics which will follow, which are important chapters or topics related to Al-Aqeedah Islamiyah or Al-Aqeedah Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Al-Imam ibn Qudam rahimahullah begins the chapter Ru'yat al-Mu'mineen, the vision of the believers, or the believers seeing their Lord. Ru'yat al-Mu'mineen li rabbihim yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of resurrection. Point number 39, Al-Imam ibn Qudam rahimahullah says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ يَرَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَزُورُونَهُ وَيُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَيُكَلِّمُونَ. But the believers, they will actually see their Lord in the hereafter, fil akhirah. Not in this life, fil akhirah, in the next life. بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ, with actual sight, yani seeing Him with their eyes. بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَزُورُونَهُ, and they will visit Him. وَيُكَلِّمُهُمْ, and He will speak to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to the believers. وَيُكَلِّمُونَ, and they will speak to Him. Then he begins with the evidences concerning this, and he mentions this briefly. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Surah Al-Qiyamah, chapter 75, verses 22 and 23, وُضُوهِ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٍ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٍ. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, describing what will take place in Yawm Al-Qiyamah, وُضُوهِ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٍ. The faces on that day will be shining, bright, and brilliant, radiant. And these will be the faces of the believers. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٍ, and they will be looking towards their Lord. And this is one of the strongest proofs and most clear proofs that the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Yawm Al-Qiyamah. The faces will be bright, and those faces, the face is the place of seeing. The eyes are contained in the face, and he says their faces will be bright, and they will be looking towards their Lord. Also, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mukaffifun, chapter 83, verse 15, the saying of Allah, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. But nay, إِنَّهُمْ, verily they, that means the disbelievers, the evildoers, the kafirs, عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, that they would be screened or veiled from their Lord on that day, يَوْمَئِذٍ, on the day of resurrection. The disbelievers, the evildoers, would be screened from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, Point number 40, فَلَمَّا خَجَبَ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي حَالَ السَّقَرِ. So when those, the disbelievers and the evildoers, when they were screened from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the displeasure of Allah, being displeased with them, when they were in that condition, دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَرَوْنَهُ فِي حَالَ الرِّضَى. This is an indication that if the disbelievers who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with, if they would be screened from seeing Him, then those, due to His displeasure, then those whom He is pleased with, it would be due to His pleasure that they would see Him, they would not be screened. وَإِلَّا لَمْ يَكُمْ بَيْنَهُمَا فَرْقٌ. Otherwise there would be no difference or any distinction between those who Allah is displeased with and those who Allah is pleased with. So the fact that those who Allah is displeased with the disbelievers would be screened from Allah is a proof that that is a punishment for them. While those who Allah is pleased with, they would not be punished like this, they would not be screened from them, meaning that they would actually see Him. Also, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Al-Imam ibn Salam rahimahullah mentioned in point number 41, وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّكُمْ تَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْخَمْرَ. He said that verily, definitely, you all would see your Lord. تَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ. How would you see Him? كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْخَمْرَ. Just as you see the moon, the full moon in the middle of the night in the sky, just as clearly as you see that moon, and you see it with your eyes, it is a real vision that you see. Likewise, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تضامون في رؤيته. And you will find no difficulty. There will be no difficulty in seeing Him, في رؤيته, in the vision of Him, in the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be a clear vision, a real vision, and you will see Him with your eyes. Then He says, in point number 42, وَهَذَا تَشْبِيحٌ لِلرُّؤْيَةِ بِالرُّؤْيَةِ. That this is a tashbih, or a comparison. This tashbih, or comparison, and we said that it is not allowed to make comparison between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creatures. So this comparison, in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not comparing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the moon. But this comparison in this hadith is a comparison between the way that you would see the moon, that it would be a real vision with your eyes, and a clear vision, the same way you would see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a real vision, clear vision by your actual eyes. The comparison is between the way you would see the moon and the way you would see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La lilmar'i bilmar'i. It is not a comparison between the thing that is seen, yani between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you see on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the moon, which you see in this world. Yani the comparison is between the manner in which you will see, not the thing that will be seen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not compared to anything. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا شَبِيهٌ لَهُ وَلَا نَظِيرٌ. So verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have anything similar to Him, nor anything equal to Him. Here, the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Khalid al-Uthaymeen, hafidhahullah, Allah protect and preserve him, gives a brief explanation concerning these points, in which he says, the ru'ya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or seeing Allah in the dunya, in this world, is mustahila. It is impossible. It is impossible to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. No human being can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam had requested from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow him to see him. He asked Allah, let me see you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as recorded in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 143, لَن تَرَانِي. لَن تَرَانِي. You can never see me. You cannot see me. You will never see me. This is the proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He didn't let even the best of His creatures, the Prophet, and one of the best of all the prophets, of the five great prophets, Musa alayhi salam, even if he didn't let him see, then for sure other people will not be allowed to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the vision of Allah in the next life, the Shaykh says, seeing Allah in the next life, it is a reality which is confirmed bil kitabi wa sunnah wa ijma'a salaf. It is confirmed in the Quran, the Book of Allah, the authentic sunnah, and the consensus or agreement of the scholars of all the generations of the Muslims. Then Shaykh Muhammad mentioned the evidences that Ibn Qudamah has mentioned in the text of the book, from Surah Qiyamah, chapter 75, verse 22 and 23, the faithful that they will be bright, radiant, and brilliant, and these are the faces of the believers. Whereas in the following ayat, after these two, The ayah following, 24, it mentioned the faces of the disbelievers would be dark and gloomy. And actually, there's a mistake in the translation of the book. If you check it later, you'll find that in the text of the book, they brought the ayah 24 instead of 22 and 23. They mentioned 23 and 24, which was the ayah, 24 is the ayah in reference to the disbelievers. In any case, this verse, which is mentioned here, is the verse that describes the condition of the believers, that their faces would be bright and radiant, brilliant, and they would be looking towards their Lord. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, chapter 83, verse 15, that may they, meaning the disbelievers and the wrongdoers, that they would be screened on that day from their Lord. Kalla innahum ar-rabbihim yawma idhin lamahjubu bihijab. A screen, or a veil between the disbelievers and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they will not see Him. Because seeing Allah is actually a reward. In fact, some of the scholars said that the greatest reward in the next life will be the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the believers will see Allah during the events of the resurrection, and they will also see Allah in the paradise itself. Here the Shaykh says that when the evil and wicked hujjah, when they have been seen or veiled from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a proof that al-abrar, the righteous and the pious, that they in fact will see Allah. Otherwise there will be no difference between the two. Then he mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was mentioned by Imam al-Qudama, that verily you see your Lord just as you see the moon, and you will have no difficulty in your seeing of Him. And this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, and then he repeats the saying of Imam al-Qudama, that this comparison is between the manner or the way in which you will see Allah, it will be the same manner in which you will see the moon, that is, you will see Allah with your eyes. It is a real vision, it is a clear vision, just as clear as you see the moon, full moon, in the middle of the month, in the middle of the night, clearly you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is not a comparison between that which will be seen, and it is not a comparison between the moon itself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah, ليس مثله شيء, nothing is like Him, وَلَا شَرِيحٌ لَهُ وَلَا نَغِيرٌ, there's nothing similar to Him, and there's nothing equal to Him. Then the Shaykh says that the scholars of the whole generation of the Muslims have reached a consensus, ijma, upon the fact of seeing that the believers, the mu'mineen, that they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the disbelievers would not see Allah. And this is based on the second ayah mentioned, that is, Mutaffifun, chapter 85 or 83, verse 15. And this ayah is a proof that there will be a distinction between the believers and the disbelievers. The disbelievers will be screened or veiled from Allah, while the believers will see Him. Also he says that this seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ru'ya of Allah, it would be during the time of the event of the resurrection. During the event of the resurrection, the things that will take place at the time of resurrection, the collecting of the people, and all the things that will take place, the scales, the weighing of deeds and so on. During these events, the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise, the believers will also see Allah after entering the paradise. And they will see Allah in paradise as much as Allah wills, as much as He wills. And then he says that this seeing of Allah, it is a ru'ya haqiqiyya, it is a real vision, not a vision of the heart, a dream, or a spiritual experience, but it is ru'ya haqiqiyya, a real vision. The believers will actually see Allah, and it will be in a way that is suitable and appropriate and fitting to the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, the Shaykh says concerning this, that the ahlu al-ta'atil, the people who make ta'atil or negation of Allah's sifat by emptying them of their meaning, they explain this ru'ya, the seeing of Allah. They said that what is meant by it is a vision of the reward of Allah, thawab Allah. Ru'ya, thawab Allah. That you will see the reward that Allah will offer to the believers. The believers will see their reward. They also explain this as meaning ru'ya al-ilm wal-yaqeen, that this vision would be a vision of ilm, knowledge and yaqeen, certainty. But on that day they would have real knowledge and certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is their interpretation in order to escape from affirming the reality of the obvious meaning of the text of the Quran and Sunnah. The Shaykh says, we refute them In terms of the first interpretation, that the seeing of Allah would be seeing of the reward of Allah, he said we refute them with those points which was made in Al-Qa'idah Rabi'ah, the fourth principle in the introduction of the book. Three points. Number one, that their interpretation is contrary to the apparent literal text of the Qur'an and Sunnah. It is contrary to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in the Qur'an and the Prophet made it clear in the Sunnah that you will actually see Allah, and then they gave it a new interpretation which is contrary to the obvious meaning of the text of the Qur'an and Sunnah. The second refutation against them is that their manner of reinterpreting something outside of its literal and apparent meaning is contrary to the way of the Salaf. How did the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Atba'at Tabi'een, how did they used to observe the text of Qur'an and Sunnah, especially those matters related to the sifat of Allah? They used to interpret it literally according to its apparent meaning without giving any new meaning to it. Therefore, their reinterpretation is contrary to the understanding of the early generation of the Muslims. And the third refutation against them that the Shaykh mentions in the introduction, in the principle number four, the third refutation is that we say to them that your interpretation is rejected since it has no authentic dalil. There is no proof for such an interpretation to say that he, Allah, the believers will be looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be looking at the reward. Based on what is the dalil? What is the evidence? Since they have no dalil, it is rejected. As for the second interpretation, of the people of Ta'atil, that the ru'ya would be al-ilm al-yaqeen, that it would be knowledge and certainty, the Shaykh says, we refute them by these first three refutations, and in addition to that, with a fourth point of refutation against them, and it is that al-ilm al-yaqeen haqul lil-abra al-dunya, that the knowledge of Allah and the yaqeen, the certainty of the believer, of believing in Allah, that ilm and that yaqeen, the believer has it even in this world. Not something in the next life only, but the believer has knowledge of Allah even in the dunya. And the believer has certainty, his iman, he is certain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in this world. Therefore, this is rejected, that the meaning of seeing Allah in the next life will be knowledge and certainty. Knowledge and certainty is something that the believer achieves even in this world. It is the disbeliever who doesn't have knowledge and certainty of Allah in this world, but the believer already has it in this world. So why is it that they would interpret it as seeing Allah would be knowledge and certainty in the next life? And likewise, not only that, but not only the believers would have knowledge and certainty in the next life, as they claim this is the meaning of seeing Allah, but even the disbelievers in the next life also would have certainty. Yani the reality would come to them, and they would also be, they would know, and they would be certain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this could not be the meaning of seeing Allah, because the seeing of Allah is limited to the believers, while the disbelievers also have knowledge and certainty in the next life. The next chapter, before going to the next chapter, it is Al-Qadha wal-Qadr. Just briefly, I'd like to mention some points which are related to the topic. Since the explanation here on this point is very brief, there are some few points that perhaps can be useful to cover. And from amongst them is the statement of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, in his essay, Usul Sunnah. There he says in point number 25, I think, I don't remember the exact point, وَالْإِمَانْ بِالرَّؤْيَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَمَا رُوِيَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْأَحَدِيثِ الصِّحَاحِ. Also, that of the usul of the sunnah is that we have iman or faith in the ru'ya or the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of resurrection, as it has been reported in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in many authentic hadith. And from amongst the evidences concerning this, he says, from amongst the evidence concerning this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus, which was not mentioned in the text of Numat al-Aqad, nor in the explanation. Another proof of the seeing of Allah is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus, which is chapter 10, verse 26. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةً. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا, for those who did good, the believers who believe in good deeds, then they will have something extra. Who will they have? الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةً. الْحُسْنَ is the paradise, the Jannah, and the ziyada, it is the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani for those who did good in this world, they will have الْحُسْنَ, the paradise, and in addition to that, they will also have something which will be the greatest blessing in paradise, الرُّؤْيَة, that is the ziyada, or the extra seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ziyada has been explained by the Prophet ﷺ, that the meaning of ziyada in this ayah is being of Allah. And that the Prophet ﷺ said that concerning this ayah, that ziyada means لِأَنَّهَا رُؤْيَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that it is the vision or the seeing of the believers of their Lord on the day of resurrection. And this is reported in the Sahih Muslim and the Hadith of Suhayb radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ explained this ayah, الَّذِينَ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ, he explained that الزِيَادَ means the believers seeing the Lord on Yom Kiyamah. Also, he mentions the proof that Ibn Qudamah mentioned in Surah Qiyamah in the Hadith of Prophet ﷺ from the Bukhari Muslim, you see the Lord just as you see the moon. And here, the Shaykh Abdullah ibn Jibreel, Hafidahullah, in explanation of this particular point from Usul Sunnah, he said that also from one fundament of the Sunnah is belief is that Iman, that the believers have, that they will see their Lord in the next life, and that they will see Him in the paradise as much as Allah will. And the hadith concerning this are sahih, and they are confirmed, and there is no doubt about it, and there is no consideration to those who rejected or refused to accept the reality of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Yawm Qiyamah. As it has been reported in many, many hadith, and those hadith are confirmed. So the seeing of Allah is confirmed, but the how of it, the kayfiyah, how will we see Allah, he said, we do not know about it. Except the only thing we know is that the believers will really see their Lord with their eyes. They will see Him with actual vision with their eyes. And that this vision of seeing Allah in the next life, it is the greatest bounty in paradise. It is the greatest favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise. And then he says that this seeing of Allah has been mentioned in the Quran and the ayah which we already mentioned by the word al-ziyada, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that al-ziyada here means the seeing of Allah. And also in another place in the Quran, the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been mentioned by another word instead of al-ziyada, al-mazid. And that is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيد, that the believers, that they will have مَا يَشَاءُونَ, whatever they do in paradise, whatever the believer wants, they will have وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيد. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is something extra, مَزِيد, something extra for them, and it is the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proofs concerning this are many. Finally, just quickly, the issue that the Shaykh mentions here, that the seeing of Allah, said that the seeing of Allah in this world, it is mustahila, it is impossible, while seeing of Allah in the next life is confirmed for the believers. The issue is mentioned, this issue is also hinted at by Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, in which he said, وَأَنَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدْ رَأَى رَبَّهُ فَأَنَّهُ مَأْثُورٌ عَلَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said that verily the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has seen his Lord, and it has been reported or sent to be to that effect, that is reported to that effect, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw his Lord, and in this world, in this life. This is an issue about which there is some confusion amongst the people, and therefore we are just referring to in case anyone came across such a statement about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم seeing Allah. It may appear to be contradictory to what they have said, that the belief, that no one will see Allah in this world, but the vision of Allah will only be in the next life. Here, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Jibreel, Prophet of Allah, says that this is an issue about which there is difference of opinion. Did the Prophet actually see Allah? And it was affirmed that he did see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Ibn Abbas in a number of hadith, and it was denied by Aisha radiallahu anha also in authentic hadith. And the summary of this, as best we can summarize it, is that the reconciliation between the two positions of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anha, one of the greatest of the companions of the Prophet, the most knowledgeable of them, and Aisha radiallahu anha, also one of the most learned of all of the Sahaba, from amongst men or women, and closest to the Prophet and one of the most prolific narrators of hadith, How can there be a contradiction between what they said and some of the scholars mentioned? First, that the fact of the matter, it cannot be that the Prophet saw Allah, يعني, with an actual vision by his eyes. This cannot be so, due to the proofs that we already mentioned, and also due to the hadith reported by a Muslim. On the authority of Abu Dhar, radiallahu anhu, he said, فَأَلْتُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ هَلْ رَأَيْتَ رَبَّكَ. He said, I asked the Prophet, did you see Allah? Abu Dhar, radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet himself, did you see Allah? Have you seen Allah? And the Prophet said to him, نُورٌ أَنَّ أَرَاهُ. He said, it was light. How could I have seen him? And how could I have seen Allah? What I saw was light. In another narration of this hadith, the Prophet said, hear a word, رَأَيْتُ نُورًا, that I saw light. Light. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but light. And this is proof that what the Prophet saw was the light. And we have been informed by the Prophet that the hijab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hijab of Allah, is light. It is light. And therefore what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw was the hijab of Allah, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hijabuhu and nur, that the hijab of Allah is nur, law kashafahu la ahraqat subhanahu wajhihi ma intaha ilayhi baqruhu min khalqihi. That if the nur, the hijab of Allah, was removed, then everything of the creation that is within the sight of Allah would have been burned up. Would have been burned up. And this is the proof that the hijab of Allah is nur, and the Prophet said that nur inna Allah. What he saw was light. How could I have seen? So this is the proof that in fact the Prophet didn't see Allah directly, but what he saw was the hijab of Allah. And the statement of Ibn Abbas is understood through various hadith and narrative from him, some of them which he said that the Prophet saw Allah, and some of them said that he had a vision of Allah. So the scholars of hadith said that those hadith which are general should be understood in light of those hadith which are more specific. The general hadith is that he saw Allah. But the specific hadith is that he saw Allah by a vision. So we understood, how did he see Allah? From the other hadith, that he had a vision. يعني a vision, in sleep, but not a vision, not by the eyes. So what is confirmed by Ibn Abbas is that the Prophet saw Allah by a vision. And what is negated by Aisha is that the Prophet could have seen Allah by his eyes. She negated that he saw Allah with his eyes. And Ibn Abbas affirmed that he saw him with his vision. So the correct opinion is that the Prophet had a vision of Allah, but he didn't see Allah in this world, nor did he see Allah in this world. But the King of Allah is a favor that Allah will reserve for the next life, for the believers and reward in paradise. That's the end of what we want to say there. Perhaps we can just quickly look at the questions and then go on to the next question. The question concerning this particular chapter, when will the Ru'ya of Allah take? When will it be? On the day of resurrection, in the next life. What kind of vision will it be? Vision with eyes or the heart? In the next life, the vision of Allah will be by eyes. As Halimah ibn Sagam said, that the believers will see their eyes, the Abbasari. He will see Allah, they will see Allah, the Abbasari and Mayn, with their eyes. In the next life, in this world, the Prophet saw Allah by a vision of the heart. So the vision in the next life will be by the actual eye. Just as you see the moon, you will see Allah. Mention an evidence from the Quran for this vision. What is one of the evidences from the Quran for this vision? Surah Al-Qiyamah. وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. That they will be looking at their Lord. Mention an evidence from the Sunnah. An evidence from the Sunnah for seeing Allah is the hadith of the Prophet. That you will see your Lord just as you see the moon. You will have no difficulty in the vision of him. Will all of the people, believers and disbelievers, see Allah? Explain. No, they will not explain. What is it? Now, there's a distinction between the believers and the disbelievers. Seeing Allah will be a reward for the believers. The disbelievers will be denied. As mentioned in the other ayah, this ayah in Surah, that they will be screened from their Lord. The disbelievers will be screened from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. So that all the people will not see Allah, but only the believers, and that will be a special reward for the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they will also see Allah in the paradise as much as and whenever and however Allah wills. And also concerning the vision of Allah, as some of the Salaf said, as Imam Sahawi said, so I failed to bring the Tabi'ah of Al-Aqidah Sahawiyya, but in Al-Aqidah Sahawiyya, if you remember, we mentioned, Imam Sahawi also mentioned concerning the vision of Allah, that it would not be a comprehensive total vision. That no one, even in the next life, would be able to comprehend Allah in totality. But it would be a vision of Allah. You would see Allah clearly, but not be able to comprehend the vision of the human being, even in the next life, but not comprehend Allah in totality. How did the people of mediation interpret the being of Allah, and how can we refute their false interpretation? How did they interpret the vision of Allah, seeing Allah? How did they interpret? Reward. That you will see the reward of Allah. Now, and what else? Other interpretation? Now, that that vision would be knowledge and certainty. Elm, knowledge of Allah, and yaqeen, certainty of Allah. And how can we refute them first with the first three points of refutation, general points of refutation? That what? They have no authentic dalil, no authentic evidence for their interpretation. What else? Their interpretation is contrary to the literal, apparent text of the Quran and Sunnah, saying that you actually see Allah. It's a clear Arabic language, and they are giving a different interpretation, which they have no answer. And the third point, their manner of interpretation, of viewing the ayat of Quran and Hadith, especially related to text, the manner of the Sahaba and Tabi'een and the early generation of the Muslims was that whatever came in the Quran and Sunnah, they affirmed it. They affirmed it without interpretation, without comparison, without negation, without making examples and so on, without distorting its meaning, without negating its meaning or emptying of meaning. This was the way of the early generation of Muslims. And what they have done by reinterpreting it is actually give it a false, distorted interpretation, which in fact empties it of its meaning. Because it doesn't have any meaning. When we say we see reward of Allah, then that means the actual seeing of Allah has no more meaning. So these are the three main points of refutation of those who made distorted interpretation of the Sifat of Allah or the text of Quran and Sunnah in general. And concerning the second interpretation of al-ilm and yaqeen, knowledge and certainty, the Shaykh also mentioned another point, a fourth refutation against them. What did he say? Now, but it can't mean knowledge and certainty, because even in this world, the believers have knowledge and certainty in Allah. And if the vision of Allah is for the believers in the next life, how can it mean knowledge and certainty when even the disbelievers would have knowledge and certainty of Allah in the next life? In the hereafter, it would become real. They would know everything. That means the screen from their eyes would be removed. Now they are walking in darkness, but in the next life, their eyes would be sharp, and they would see the reality. The punishment will be clear to them, and their error will be clear to them. And that's the way we say, oh Allah, let me go back into the world again. This time I won't do like I did before, this time I'll be good. But there's no going back. Okay, there's some time remaining. Perhaps we can take some points from the next chapter, the chapter concerning Al-Qadha wal-Qadr. Qadr, now. But does this have any questions concerning this chapter, please send them over now before we go to the next section.
Because at some point you said that
I am the believer as you think I am. This is in reference, I am the believer as you think I am. This is in reference to how Allah will deal with us. If we see Allah as being merciful, Allah will be merciful to us. If we expect from Him mercy, the believers should never give up the mercy of Allah. And no matter what our situation is, we should always feel we can turn back to Allah and repent. Okay? This statement is in reference to the way the believer or the disbeliever sees Allah. The one who gives up hope of the mercy of Allah, then no one loses hope of the mercy of Allah except the disbeliever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is to the believers as they see Him. Yani, if you see Allah as being merciful and really have hope of Allah's mercy, Allah indeed will accept your asking of forgiveness, repentance, and repentance, and so on. This is the general meaning of this. But as for seeing Allah, Allah asks, if the seeing of Allah would be the same, but what we do know that in paradise, the rewards of the people will not be the same. The rewards of the believers in paradise will not be the same. The stages, the levels, or degrees, some earning higher degrees than others, and their rewards being greater. So it is possible, it is very likely, that even the greatest pleasure in paradise, the seeing of Allah, will not be the same for everyone. But Allah knows that. Because the reward of paradise is according to the stages or the degrees that Allah has given to the people based on Allah's mercy and favor to them in the upper of the lineage, you recite Allah number. Concerning the next chapter, Al-Qadha Al-Qadr, the divine decree. Well, that was Allah's decree before the creation of heaven and earth, and the execution of Al-Qadha, the execution of what Allah has pre-decreed. The Imam Ibn Qudama says, in point number 43, وَمِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ الْفَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. But among the characteristics of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is the one who does whatever He will. Allah does whatever He will. لَا يَكُونُ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا بِإِرَادَتِهِ. That nothing will happen, nothing can take place except by the irada and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can take place except that Allah wills it. And we said, of course, that we'll discuss it in more detail, but the irada of Allah, nothing happens except by the will of Allah. The irada of Allah is the two sides. The irada, the universal will, and the irada, the shar'iyya, the legal or legislative will. So, nothing happens in this world except it is by the will of Allah. Some of it Allah is pleased with. That is, in accordance with His irada shar'iyya, legislative or legal will. Some of it Allah may not be pleased with. But it's His will, irada, kawniyya, universal will, of those things that Allah wills to happen for some wisdom, for some purpose. وَلَا يَخْرُجْ شَيْءٌ عَنْ مَشِيَتِهِ. And nothing is outside of His mashiyah, His will. Whatever Allah wills, everything is within that. Nothing can go outside of it. وَلَيْسَ فِي الْعَالَمْ شَيْءٌ يَخْرُجْ عَنْ تَدْبِيرِهِ وَلَا يَخْرُجْ إِلَّا عَنْ تَدْبِيرِهِ. But there is nothing in the world, in the existence, there is nothing that is outside of His tahir, outside of what Allah has pre-decreed, what Allah has pre-measured and fixed. Nothing in the world is outside of it. And nothing happens in this universe except it is by Allah's planning and arrangement. But Allah is the one who is up there. He is the one who plans and manages everything. Everything is within the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَوْحِيدْ عَنِ الْقَضْرِ الْمَقْبُورِ. And there's nothing that is outside of the qadr al-maqbur, yani what Allah has decreed, whatever Allah has fixed. وَلَا يَتَجَاوَزْ مَا قُطْ اللَّوْحِ الْمَقْبُورِ. And nothing can go beyond what has been written in اللَّوْحِ الْمَقْبُورِ, yani the lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet which contains the writing. The sufu, the writing of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote about what will take place from the beginning of time until the end. Nothing goes outside of what Allah has written in Allah al-Masur, meaning Allah al-Mahfuz. Arada ma al-alam fa'iluhu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will whatever the preachers do, walau atabuhum lama qalabuhu. And if Allah had protected them from the error of sin, they would not have kharafu, they would not have opposed Him or contradicted Him or disobeyed Him. But Allah didn't give the rasmah to all of the people. Those who believe in Him, Allah protects them. And those who doesn't believe in Him, Allah doesn't give them His protection, and therefore they fall into contradiction or disobedience to Allah. وَلَوْ شَاءَ أَنْ يُطِيعُوهُ جَمِيعًا فَعَطَاؤُهُ. And if Allah had willed that all of the people should obey Him, then they would have all obeyed Him. Because Allah had willed that. But Allah in His universal will didn't will that all people obey Him. In His universal will, in His sharia, yani in the irada sharia, in the legislative will, Allah wills the people that people believe in Him, that they obey Him, that they pray and so on. But in the universal will, Allah wills that some people will be believers and some people will be disbelievers. There's the wisdom behind it. So if Allah wills that all people obey Him, then they would have all obeyed Him. خلق الخلق وأفعاله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation as well as the deeds or the actions of the creatures. Allah is the creator of the creatures as well as the actions of the creatures. وَقَدَّرَ أَرْزَاقَهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed their sustenance, their provisions in this world. وَآجَالَهُمْ. And their time span, their lifespan in this world. يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِحِكْمَتِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whoever He wills by His hikmah, by His wisdom. He guides whoever He wills according to His wisdom. Qala Allah ta'ala, then Al-Imam ibn Qudama mentions the proof for these statements that he's made concerning Al-Qadr al-Qadr. He said the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يسأل عما يفعل.
وهم يفعلون. سورة الأنبياء, starting in chapter 21, verse 23, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to be questioned about what he does. No one can question Allah. But they, meaning the people, they will be questioned on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani whatever Allah does, even if it appears to the people according to their limited mind and intellect and knowledge, but maybe this is not a good thing, Allah is not to be questioned. But when Allah decrees a thing and it happens, we accept it. We accept it, we submit to it, and we are pleased with whatever Allah has decreed. We don't second guess Allah. Why did Allah do this? I don't think that was right. I don't think this was good. Why did Allah do such and such and so and so? لا يسأل عما يفعل. Allah is not to be questioned about what he does. فهم يسألون, but they will be questioned. Yeah, the people will be questioned as to whether or not they obeyed Allah or disobeyed Allah and his commands and prohibition. Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Qamar, chapter 54, verse 49, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. That verily, everything, we have created it with a free measurement. بِقَدَرٍ, with a fixed measurement, time, amount, and so on. Allah has fixed everything that he has created. وقال تعالى وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا. سورة الفرقان, chapter 25, verse 2. And he has created everything. And he has fixed it with a free measurement. Well, a fixed measurement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed everything that he created. Its lifespan, its sustenance, whether it be good or bad, its end destination, paradise and hellfire, and so on. All of it is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on his knowledge, his perfect knowledge of everything before he created heaven and earth. وقال تعالى ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها. That no affliction or calamity has befallen in the earth nor in yourself except that it is already written before we bring it into existence. So any whatever happens, any calamity that befalls anyone, anything that happens in the earth or in ourselves, know that it is already written in the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah maktub, before Allah brings it into existence, before he executes it. The qadr is fixed before the qadr, before the execution of it. This is the Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verse 22. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 7, verse 125. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That whoever Allah wills, that he guide him, then he opens up his chest. Right? He makes that person receptive to Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. And whether Allah wills to lead them astray, whether Allah wills to lead them astray, then he makes their chest to be tight and constricted, and so that they will not accept the truth. And of course, whether Allah wills, it is according to his wisdom and his mercy to guide them, and whether Allah wills to mislead, it is because they have rejected the truth and they don't desire to follow the right way. Then they turn away from Allah, and Allah turns them to that which they turn themselves. Also, in point number 44, وروى ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما ان جبريل عليه السلام قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما لنا. And it is reported that ابن عمر said that جبريل عليه السلام said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم what is الإيمان. يعني this is the hadith to جبريل when he was asked what is الإيمان الإحسان. إحسان. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وقدره خيره وشره. That iman, believe in Allah, in the angels, in the book of revelation, the messengers, the last day or the judgment day, and al-qadr, the good and the evil of it, خيره وشره, the good and the evil of al-qadr. فقال جبريل صدقت. And then جبريل answered the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, you are indeed spoken the truth. And this hadith is quoted in the Sahih of Muslim. Then he mentions point number 45, وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم آمنت بالقدر خيره وشره وحلمه ومره. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that I believe in the qadr, the khair of it and the shar of it, the good and the evil of it, the bitter of it and the sweet of it and the bitter of it. And this hadith is classified by the Sahih hadith as being da'if. The part of the hadith that is definitely da'if is the hudlihi wa murrihi, not recorded authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas the other part of it is recorded in other hadith. In any case, many of the scholars of Islam mention this statement as a general statement concerning the khabar al-qada, khayrihi wa sharrihi, wa hulrihi wa murrihi, the good and the evil of it, and the bitter and the sweet of it, or the sweet and bitter. And finally, the last point, point number 46, saying of Al-Imam ibn Qudamah rahimahullah, وَمِنْ دُعَاءِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الَّذِي عَلَّمَهُ الْحَقُّ بْنُ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. That's some of the supplication of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which he taught, وَالْحَقُّ the son of Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا يَدْعُو بِهِ فِي قُلُوبِ الْوِتْرِ, that he should supplicate with it in the قُلُوبِ of wisdom prayer, in the قُلُوبِ of wisdom prayer, from which that supplication of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم protect him from the evil of what is contained in something that Allah decreed to be. Something that Allah decreed, if there is some evil in it, the Prophet is saying, protect me from the evil of it. This hadith is Sahih Rasul, Ma'alim al-Ahmad, in his Musnad, and in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and the Sunan of Abu Dawud. So the Sheikh begins his explanation. I don't know how much time we have to cover some of it perhaps. Hey, alhamdulillah, inshaAllah. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Haqibat Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him, gives a very beautiful explanation of these matters containing these points of Qadr al-Qadha. And we should keep in mind that Qadr al-Qadha are two terms which each of them is independently mentioned to refer to the other. They have the same meaning. But if they are referred to together, then they take on a distinctive meaning. One of them, Al-Qadr, it means the pre-decree. And the qada, it means the execution of what Allah has pre-decreed. The Shaykh says, وَمِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ from the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is الْفَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. He is the one who does whatever He will. There are some passages like this. This is 22 AM. This is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hud, chapter 11, verse 157 or 107. Yeah, 107. Saying of Allah, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. That verily your Lord is the one who does whatever He will. So the Shaykh says, nothing is outside of the irada of Allah, the will of Allah, or the authority of Allah, and nothing happens except that it is within what Allah has pre-decreed or pre-measured, and what Allah has arranged or planned or set up. The taqdeer of Allah and the tadbeer of Allah. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has measured and pre-decreed, and what Allah has planned or arranged or set up. In His hand is the possession of the heavens and the earth. He guides whomever He wills by His mercy, and He leads astray whomever He will due to His wisdom, due to a wisdom. There is a reason behind it. He is not to be asked about what He does due to the perfection of His wisdom and the perfection of His authority, or the completeness of His authority. Because Allah's wisdom is perfect and His authority is complete, who can question what He does? While the people, they will be questioned, because they are marbubun and mahkumun, because they are under the rububiyyah of Allah. They are the ones who are inert and sustained. They have a Lord over them. And they are mahkumun, they are those who are governed over. They have a governor over them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore they are to be questioned by their Rabb, their Lord, and they are to be questioned by the one who rules over them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says that al-Iman in al-Qadr, believing in al-Qadr is wajib, it is obligatory on a Muslim. It is one of the arkan, or the pillars of faith, the six pillars of faith. Based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that Iman is believing in Allah, and the angels, and the book, and the messengers, and the last day, and al-Qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi. These six are the six pillars of Islam, even though some people want to make them five, excluding Qadr. In some books now, we found some scholars, they wrote that the pillars of Islam are five. And one of them is a famous book, it's called Mubadi Islam, by Abu al-A'la al-Mawdudi. In that book he explains that the pillars of arkan of Iman, they are five. And he says it includes al-Qadr. And here the Prophet ﷺ said clearly in the hadith that what is Iman, and he mentioned the six pillars of Iman, including al-Qadr al-Qadha. Some of them, like Abdul Alam, what's his name, Islam in Focus. He wasn't satisfied with six pillars of Iman, he made 15. Or more than 15, I don't remember exactly, maybe 15 or 20 pillars of Iman. So the Shaykh says, after mentioning this hadith in the Sahih of Muslim, he said, he mentions this hadith which is not authentic, that the Prophet ﷺ said, I believe in al-Qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi, wa hulrihi wa murrihi. But I believe in the qadr, the good of it and the evil of it, and the sweet of it and the bitter of it. In any case, this hadith is not authentic, but the scholars of Islam explained the meaning of it. And they said, as the Shaykh said here, that the khayr and the shar of qadr, the good and the evil of it, it is in reference to the end of the matter. Yani the end of one's affair. What happens in the end? Is it good or is it evil? Yani if the person ends up in paradise, this is the end of their destination, then whatever happened to them that led to them going into paradise, then it's khayr. Even if it meant that they were persecuted in this life, maybe they were in prison, maybe they were tortured, maybe they were killed. You may say, look what happened to them, it's terrible. But in the end, as a result of their suffering, they ended up in paradise. So that means the qadr of Allah that they be persecuted or tortured or killed, bismillah, was really good. Although it may have appeared to the people as being something evil, but in fact it was good. So the khayr and the shar, this is in reference to the end of the matter. Whereas the hul, the sweetness and the bitter, is in reference to the matter as it happened. Yani the immediate befalling of that thing on the first. The time when sickness befell someone, they said this is bad. It's painful. It's suffering. It may be bitter. But maybe the end result of it may be good. Yani though the time when it happens to the person, it feels bad. But it may be a means of wiping away their sins by which they might enter paradise. So the khayr and the shar is in reference to the end of the matter. We say it was good or it was evil, depending on the end of the matter. Whereas the sweetness and the bitterness, it is in reference to the time when the thing happens to us in this world. We say that it is bitter if it's difficult, and it's sweet if it's good. Something good happens to a person, it's heat, right now. But maybe that good thing might be the cause of displeasure of Allah that earned them the hellfire in the end. So though it may be sweet now, it may be sharp, evil in the end. And the thing that might be bitter now, it may be khair in the end. So here the Shaykh is saying that the khayri wa sharri, it is in reference to the end of the matter, whereas the bitter, sweet and bitter, it is in reference to the time when something befalls you. He said that the khayr al-qadr, the good of the qadr, is that which is beneficial. And the evil of the qadr is that which is harmful. Yani the khayr of the qadr is that which is beneficial, even though it may be bitter, but it's beneficial. And the shar of the qadr, even though it may be sweet, you might be enjoying it when it happens, but in the end it's harmful. Then he says, وَالْخَيْرُ وَالْشَرْهُ وَبِنِسْتِ مَخْزُورُ وَعَقِبَتُ نعم. The good and the evil, it is also to be considered in reference to, we say that good and evil, the khayr or the evil of qadr, it is in reference to that thing that Allah has decreed. So it is in reference to the thing that Allah has decreed, not Allah's action of decreeing it. Allah's action of decreeing it is purely good. Allah's action, this qada, it is purely good. But the thing that He decreed, that thing itself, we might say it is khayr or shar. We might say it is good or evil. Okay, there's a distinction between the qadr and the maqdur. The qadr is that Allah decrees something. Whatever Allah does is good. So if Allah decrees something, it's good. But the thing when it actually happens, we might say it's khayr or shar. We might say it's good or evil, depending on yani, how we see it. So there are some things that Allah decrees. The thing itself, we would say it's good if it is of those things such as ta'at, siha, al-ghina. Acts of obedience, when they happen, when people do acts of obedience, we say this is the khayr of what Allah has decreed. When they have good health, we say this is the khayr of what Allah has decreed. When they have wealth, we say this is khayr of what Allah has decreed. But when we see ma'asi, sin, we say this is the shar of what Allah has decreed. And the sickness is the shar of what Allah has decreed. And poverty is the shar of what Allah has decreed. This is not a reference to Allah's action of decree, but it's a reference to the thing itself that happened. We may look at it as being khayr or shar, good or evil, the thing that happened. Obedience as opposed to disobedience. Health as opposed to sickness. Wealth as opposed to poverty. This is in reference to the thing that happened, not in reference to Allah's action of decreeing that thing. As for Allah's action, He says, we never say about Allah's action that it is evil. And this is understood from the supplication that the Prophet ﷺ used to supplicate with in the Qunut, and which he taught to Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, in which he said, وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ. Protect me from the evil of the thing which you decreed. He didn't say, protect me from the evil of your decree. The decree, Allah's action is not evil. But the thing that Allah decreed when it happens, it may be
something evil coming from it. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ said, protect me from the evil of that thing which you decreed, not the evil of your decree. Allah's action is perfectly good. So he attributed the evil to the thing which is decreed, not to Allah's action of decreeing. I hope that the distinction is clear. Allah's action is one thing, and the thing, the result of it is another. The result, it might be khair or shar, but Allah himself is action of decreeing, it is based on wisdom, and it is purely good. Here the Shaykh says, and perhaps we'll stop here if there's no more time, but this is the last point I've tried to cover. It is related to the level or the degree of al-Iman. Some of the scholars divide them into four, and some of them divide them into two, which they broke down each into two. Ibn Taymiyyah, in his essay Al-Aqidah Waqafiyah, said that there are two degrees of al-Qadr. And he broke each degree into two degrees. So we can say there are four, as the Shaykh is explaining here. The first two is al-Ilm al-Kitab. He said that they are one degree, the knowledge of Allah and the writing of that knowledge. But he broke them into two, so we say there are two. The first one is the knowledge, the second one is the writing. The second degree, or the second part, which is also two, is al-Irada wal-Khalq, the will of Allah and the creation. These are also two degrees, that everything is according to Allah's will, and everything is created by Allah. Here the Shaykh says that Iman and Qadr is not complete except the person has four points. The first of them is al-Iman, believing that Allah is the knower of everything, in general and with all the specifics. That Allah knows everything that will happen in general, and He knows every detail of everything that will happen. And that knowledge was with Allah previously, eternally, not something that He gained. But it was always with Him. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 70, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Didn't you know that Allah knows whatever is in the heaven and the earth? Verily that is in a book, it is written. Verily that is easy for Allah. The second degree, after the knowledge, didn't you know that Allah knows everything in the heaven and the earth? This is the first point of ilm or knowledge. The second point is al-kitab or the writing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything in a lawh mahfuz, the preserved tablet, masadir, the measures of everything that would exist, and this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verse 22, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. That nothing, no calamity or affliction befalls in the earth or in yourself, except that it is إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. It is already in a book, it is written before we bring it into existence, before Allah creates it. And also, this fact that Allah that everything is written before He created. It's mentioned in hadith of the Prophet ﷺ reported in the Sahih of Muslim, in which it is said that he said, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَصَادِرُ الْخَلَائِقِ, that Allah wrote the measurement, the pre-measurement of everything in the creation, قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ, that Allah wrote everything, the measures of everything in the creation, before He created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. So, I mean, 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth, already He wrote everything that would happen. The third degree is al-irada or al-mashiyah, the will of Allah, that everything is subject to the will of Allah, and that nothing happens in the heavens or earth except it is by the irada or the mashiyah of Allah. And everything that happens in the irada or the mashiyah of the will of Allah is between His rahmah and His hikmah. It is between His rahmah and His hikmah. He guides whomever He wills due to His rahmah, His mercy. And He leads, let's say, whoever He will, due to His hikmah, His wisdom. It is for a reason. And Allah is not to be questioned about whatever He does, due to the perfection of His wisdom and the completeness of His authority. But all of the people, they will be asked about what they have done. And whatever they have called their actions. And that their actions will not happen, except that it is in agreement with Allah's previous knowledge. And nobody will do anything except that Allah already knew it, and already wrote it in Allah's mahfuz. And this is, many mentions also concerning the will of Allah, that the guidance is by Allah's will, and leading astray is by Allah's will. This is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 125. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ, whoever Allah will, it is His irada that He will guide him, يَشْرَعْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, that He will open His heart, He will be receptive to Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ سَيِّئًا حَرَجًا, and whoever Allah wills in His irada, that person goes straight, He makes his heart tight and constricted. So here on this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed that al-hidayah or guidance, and al-dalal, misguidance, it is all by the irada, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
guidance by Allah's mercy and leading astray due to Allah's wisdom. And the final degree is al-khalq or creation, that everything in the heavens and the earth is makhluq lillah. Everything in the heavens and earth is the creation of Allah. There is no creator other than Allah, and there is no rock other than Allah, unlike what some of the deviants from amongst the Muslim Ummah and the Persian Ummah before, what they believed in. They believed in two gods, the God of good and the God of evil. And as some of the Muslims fell into that same error and said that the good is by Allah's will and the evil is the creation of the human beings themselves, this is also attributing creation to the human beings. But there is only one creator. There is no other creator. The human beings and whatever they do is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 2. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that Allah created everything. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, He has measured it with a definite, specific measurement. And the saying that is placed on the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Surah Al-Safat, chapter 37, verse 96, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, that Allah has created you and all that you do. Whatever you do, your actions and deeds, it is also the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Imam goes on in the points that are coming, inshallah, to discuss further this particular point, that we will discuss it as we come to it, that the creation of Allah, of the creatures and the actions, it doesn't mean that the people are free from responsibilities for their actions, because Allah, His being the creator of the actions of the human beings, doesn't mean that the human beings don't do their own actions. But it means that the human beings have a will to do and an ability to execute their will that has been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who gave them their will, and Allah is the one who gave them the ability to execute their will. Therefore, ultimately, Allah is the first cause of their actions, and therefore it is attributed to Allah as being the creator. While in fact, since the human being does have a will and a choice and the power to execute their will, therefore their actions are also attributed to the human being, and they are responsible for the human. And this will be discussed, inshallah, next week in the points that are remaining concerning qada wal qada. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Although there are no questions with this particular section yet, but next week I will make some questions, and those questions will be general related to the meaning of qada wal qada. At least we should know what is the difference between qada and what and al qada. What are the difference between them? And also we should be able to explain what is the meaning that Allah guides whoever He will and leads astray whoever He will. What does this mean? Does Allah will that people go astray? We have to keep in mind what is the meaning of these such statements, and also what is the difference between the good and the evil of Allah's decree and the sweetness and bitterness of Allah's decree. What does this mean? The good and the evil is in reference to the end result, what happens in the end, and the sweetness and bitterness is in reference to the action as it befalls us, how we feel about it, if it is something enjoyable or unenjoyable, though the end might be contrary to that. Also, the four degrees of qada wal qada, knowledge, writing, the will of Allah, and the creation of Allah's created everything. We should know these, and we have some idea about how to explain them. Are there any questions or comments or corrections from the brothers or from the sisters before we close? Now, can somebody give me the four degrees of qada wal qada? What are they? Now, knowledge, al-ilm, al-kitaba, writing, creation, that Allah is the only creator. Everything that exists is Allah's creation. The features, the actions, the descriptions, whatever, everything is the creation of Allah. Now, khalq, one very important, al-irada, al-mashia, the will of Allah, that everything is subject to the will of Allah. This we'll discuss in more detail in the next lecture. Now, any questions? Or shall I give you some more questions? So what about Allah's Dani? What do we say about Allah's knowledge? That Allah, or the writing, what do we know about Allah's writing? The writing of everything that will exist. What do we know from the Quran or from the Sunnah? Naam, that everything was written before the creation of the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. Does this mean then that people are forced to do what they do?
No.
Why? Because the human being has free will. Limited free will, of course. He's subject to Allah's will. But the human being has will. And therefore they are subject.
to they're accountable for what they do. The human being has a choice to do good or to evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do certain things. They have a choice to obey his command or to disobey it. Allah prohibited us from certain things. The human being has a choice to avoid those prohibitions or to engage in them, and therefore be accountable for what they do. This is very important topic of Salah al-Qadha. We discussed it previously, but inshallah, perhaps in reviewing it here, this week will also be of some benefit. SubhanAllah wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.